You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. In our last lecture, we were talking about the language of mystery, that which is used to describe a revealed knowledge of salvation that has been proclaimed by the apostles into all nations. Now again, if you recall in our last lecture, we made a distinction between a secret and a mystery. A mystery is that which is to be revealed, whereas a secret is to be hidden. When a mystery is revealed, as the gospel is, it is that in which we rejoice in. But a secret is to be kept and guarded and not delivered to anybody. Now, of course, we also talked about how a secret could accidentally be found, but that's totally different than the mystery. The whole purpose of the mystery that is given to the apostles is so that it would be revealed. Now, as we discussed, the apostles were sent out into the world to bring the knowledge of salvation into light. Where there was darkness, this mystery would be revealed, so that through their message, God was at work, opening eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe in all the promises fulfilled in Christ. They were making disciples of Jesus who continued to grow in their understanding of theology, which again, of course, is the study of God and divine things. In today's lecture, we'll continue with this thought that there's a continuity between the Old Testament prophets sent by God and the New Testament apostles sent by God. They have this same message, this same mystery to be revealed of the wonderful things God has done in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we'll look at Matthew 28, where our Lord Jesus Christ sends out the apostles to make disciples, that is, students, who would continue to listen to his voice. They make disciples by baptizing and by teaching. And then we'll look at Acts chapter 2, in which we have these first disciples being brought to faith by the work of the Holy Spirit in the message of the cross. So in Acts chapter 2, we'll see those who receive the message of the gospel and are baptized, and then continue to listen and to learn the teaching of the apostles. We'll also look at Acts chapter 26, in which Paul the Apostle tells about his conversion and his sending out. Because remember, Paul was Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor, the big persecutor of the church, the archenemy of the preaching of the gospel to begin with. But then yet Christ opens his eyes through a revelation revealing to Paul the mystery of salvation, and then giving Paul that mystery so that he would reveal it to many others. So then we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in which Paul talks about this mystery being proclaimed throughout all the world and the Holy Spirit working through these instrumental means to build his church, gathering, calling, and enlightening. And then we'll go back to Acts and look at Acts chapter 13 and 14 and see how this whole process developed, in which the message of salvation was first spoken to the Jews as those who had the promises of the prophets. And then when they rejected it, that message was then taken to a people who had not known any of these promises, to the Gentiles, to those who sat in darkness, that a light would shine, bringing them into the kingdom too. Now that'll be Acts chapter 13 and 14. So let's begin with today's lecture. Now first of all, in that last chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, we hear the words of Christ our Lord as he speaks to the 11. as he sends out the apostles to proclaim his name to all nations. So Jesus says this in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now that's Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Now, as the Father sent Jesus, so too Jesus now sends the apostles. They were sent out in order to reveal the mystery of salvation in the name of Jesus. Through baptizing and teaching, the Lord makes his disciples. And as disciples, these are now students of theology, students who continue to learn and treasure all that Jesus has said. So it is the Lord Jesus who sends out his apostles, just like the Lord Jesus, pre-incarnate in the Old Testament times, sent out his prophets to proclaim the mystery of salvation. Now in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, we hear how the apostles taught and proclaimed this mystery of salvation beginning on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, and then throughout the rest of their days in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, on the day of Pentecost, we are given the words of Jesus as he revealed the mystery of the life and death of Jesus. After 3 days, Jesus was raised from the dead, and all who call upon the name of Jesus will be saved. Then in chapter 2, starting at verse 37, we hear the end results of the preaching of Peter, proclaiming that all of this is fulfillment of the prophets. In particular, he talks about the prophet Joel, who is telling the people of God that there will be a day of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit in which the people see in their day. So in verse 37, Peter says this, "Now when they heard this," Peter doesn't say that. This is where the verse starts. "Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" Now, here's where Peter speaks. "Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls." This is Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 41. Now, God was at work in the words of Peter the apostle, opening the ears of those who heard the message and planting faith in their hearts. Those who were enlightened with the revealed mystery that in Jesus there is the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, those were converted by the work of the Holy Spirit to faith in Jesus and were baptized. Through their baptism, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit as a seal who indwells, who continues to work in them through the message of the gospel to bring them to this knowledge of salvation. Now take note in this passage that there are no exclusions here. That Peter doesn't say only men or only adults. Instead, there's no exclusion, just like the words of Jesus, they were to baptize all nations. And so Peter says, all for whom the Lord calls, this promise is for you and for your children, so that children, boys and girls and babies were all to come to the baptismal font and the gift that God gives, in which you receive the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So that the Holy Spirit is promised through this means. For the Holy Spirit comes in order to enlighten, in order to give and bestow faith, and to regenerate, giving new desires in the heart, giving ears to hear and eyes to see all the wonderful things that God has done in the death and resurrection of Christ. Now, notice in the next verse, when we continue on in Acts chapter 2 to verse 42, it says this, "And they," the ones who received the message of the apostles, "devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers." That's Acts chapter 2, verses 42. The new believers continued to grow in their understanding of the mystery of salvation in the name of Jesus. They were devoted followers of the teaching of the apostles. They were true students of theology. So they would continue to hear the words of the apostles. They would continue to pray, give thanks, and praise God for what he's done. And they would commune together in the breaking of the bread, the wonderful gift in the sacrament of the altar, in which the Lord gives to us his very body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, for life and salvation. Now, this is the beginning of the book of Acts as the Holy Spirit is working through the apostles and their teaching. Now, later on in the book of Acts, we will learn of a rabbi named Saul, who was that kind of a person who rejected and refused the work of the Holy Spirit. Yet, the Holy Spirit opened his eyes, gave him ears to hear and a heart to believe when Jesus revealed himself to Saul, knocking him off his horse, and then calling Saul with the name Paul to be sent out to proclaim this mystery to the Gentiles. Now, later on in Acts chapter 26, when Paul, who was a former rabbi rejecting the Messiah, who is now an apostle proclaiming the Messiah, now stands before King Agrippa and explaining himself and telling of his conversion, Paul recites this as he quotes from the words of Jesus in that vision. So in Acts chapter 26, verse 17, we hear this, that God is delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's Acts chapter 26, verses 17 through 18. Now again, Paul is quoting from Jesus, so Jesus himself is speaking to Paul, and Jesus says, "I am sending you." And the purpose of his sending is so that the eyes of the Gentiles would be open, so that the Gentiles who were in darkness would come to light, that those who were by nature children of wrath and under the power of Satan would be delivered from the clutches of the devil and brought into the kingdom of God, in which they too, the Gentiles, would receive the forgiveness of sins and be sanctified, that is, be made holy, declared righteous, by faith in Christ. Now, so the Apostle Paul, like the other apostles, was sent out to reveal this mystery to those who did not know it, who could not know it, who would never know it unless someone revealed it to them. Now, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we learn how the apostolic message was spread throughout the Roman Empire. The apostles brought people out of darkness into light, revealing the good news of Jesus. as they went from city to city, the Holy Spirit was working through them as instruments to call, to gather, and to enlighten people into the Christian faith. Now, as time developed, the apostles put in place fellow teachers who would continue to teach in accordance with their message. These successors of the apostles were teachers who were given the responsibility to teach what was taught to them. They were to refrain from teaching in opposition to or contradiction to the apostles. The successors of the apostles, the next generation of those men who were put into this preaching office, were to preach only the apostolic teaching in which the mystery of salvation is delivered. Now, for instance, in Paul's letter to the baptized in Corinth, he talks about his fellow workers, those who are starting to be placed into this office in the days of the apostles, and who will continually be placed into this office by the Holy Spirit in the generations to come. Even in our day, God continues to call men into this preaching office so that the mystery of salvation would be revealed through the means of grace, the gospel proclaimed and administered through the sacraments. Now, in Paul's letter to Corinth, his first letter in chapter 3, Paul writes this: "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." Now that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 15. You see, the message of the apostles is founded in Jesus. All things must be built upon this foundation. Anything that is built upon another foundation is not the message of salvation. Those who build upon this foundation, in accordance with the teaching of the apostles, then adorn the building with gold, silver, and precious stones, which beautifies the structure. Other things that do not properly adorn the building are wood and hay and straw, which will not last under the test of fire. However, the foundation will last. In this process, much care must be taken so that buildings are not built with fluff and stuff, which will not endure the testing fires and stand the test of time. Such things are the speculations of men and not the certainty of God. But even worse than this, is a building with something else as a foundation, something else that contradicts the apostolic teaching, which would destroy the message of the cross, which would steal honor that is rightly given to Jesus, and take away comfort that rightly should be given to a terrified conscience through the revealing of the mystery of salvation in Christ alone. Now again, the apostles proclaimed their message, and those who heard received their message with great joy and continued to learn and continued to listen. And then successors of the apostles were put into place to continue this teaching so that you would have the one who speaks the message and the one who hears the message. You would have shepherd and sheep, those who continue to know the voice of the good shepherd who laid down his life from his sheep. Now, as the apostles went from town to town, they taught these theological truths to the people. They revealed the mystery of salvation found in Jesus. They laid this foundation upon which the people were to trust for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. As they went, they taught in the synagogues. Some believed and some did not. They then took their message to the Gentile outside of the house of prayer, to those who sat in darkness. And again, some believed and some did not. Now, in the book of Acts of the Apostles, we get a glimpse of the way in which the apostles taught. In fact, in Acts chapter 13, we are told that the apostle Paul and Barnabas went to Antioch of Pisidia. Paul taught there in the synagogue. Now, after Paul was finished teaching, we hear these words, starting at verse 42. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." Now that's Acts chapter 13, verses 42 through 46. Later, the apostle Paul and Barnabas were chased out of Antioch and headed to Iconium. Again, that city was divided. The unbelieving Jews rallied the unbelieving Greeks and chased Paul and Barnabas out of town. They fled to Lystra. Again, they taught. They revealed the mystery that they were given to reveal. This time, the Gentiles took them to be pagan gods because of the miracle that Paul performed. In addition, the unbelieving Jews from Iconium and Antioch came to the city to turn the people against this wonderful apostolic message. They convinced the crowd to stone Paul, and they drug him out of the city. Now, Paul and Barnabas then left for Derbe. Now, Acts chapter 14 kind of continues this whole traveling journey and events that Paul and Barnabas are finding themselves into. I mean, if you think your last trip was difficult, imagine the kind of reception and the kind of things that Paul and Barnabas had to endure in these days, all for the sake of the gospel. Now, Acts chapter 14, starting at verse 21, states this. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. This is Acts chapter 14, verses 21 through 23. You see, after the apostle Paul had made disciples by teaching and baptizing, he set in place other teachers who would succeed him as those who would preach and proclaim the apostolic message, continuing to reveal the message of salvation found in Jesus. They would continue to teach theology to the people so that the people would grow in their faith in the promises of God and continue to learn to believe and trust in Christ alone. Fellow teachers were placed in Derbe and Lystra and Iconium and Antioch to feed the sheep with the word of God. Christ is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep, and his sheep listened to his voice. In this way, Jesus Christ would remain the foundation of the teaching of the apostles, that the people would be taught and continue to learn and continue to rejoice in. Now we close this lecture with some words from Martin Chemnitz. Now Martin Chemnitz is known as the second Martin, coming after Martin Luther in time and, of course, in importance. Martin Chemnitz is the one who brought clarity and unity to the Lutheran faith after the death of Martin Luther. And in his examination of the Council of Trent, Martin Chemnitz writes concerning the sacred scriptures, saying this: "It is an established fact that the apostles, during the first few years, proved and confirmed the apostolic teaching from the scriptures of the Old Testament, but that they handed it down and spread it without any writing of their own and solely by the living voice. Later, however, they began to write down certain things about their doctrine. Out of what considerations, for what reasons, with what purpose and intent they did this, and what use they wanted to have made of their writings in the church, we shall inquire in the same way as we did concerning the evangelist. For this is, as also our opponents confess, the true, whole, and perfect doctrine of the gospel, as far as we are able to have it in this life, which Christ, the Son of God, first proclaimed with his own mouth, and afterward commanded that it be preached by his apostles to every creature. When therefore we shall have shown also concerning the doctrine of the apostles, as we have already proved concerning the doctrine of Christ, that as much as the Holy Spirit judged necessary and sufficient for us, for dogmas and morals, was consigned to writing, it will be clear that the sacred scripture is the canon, norm, rule, foundation, and pillar of our whole faith, so that whatever is to be accepted under this title and name, that it is the doctrine of Christ and of the apostles, must be proved and confirmed from the scripture. For in religious controversies, all things must be tested and examined according to this norm in such a way that the saying of Jerome remains in force: whatever does not have authority in Holy Scripture can be rejected as easily as it can be proved." Now, this is Martin Chemnitz in the examination of the Council of Trent, emphasizing the importance of the sacred scriptures through which we receive in writing the sure and certain message of the gospel, the mystery that Christ himself gave to his apostles to reveal to us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.